At his coronation, Napoleon was approached by the Pope carrying a crown on a tray. Napoleon took the crown and set it upon his head, crowning himself, and in doing so broke with time-honored tradition. On his deathbed, Vespasian, the Roman emperor, was said to have uttered the words, "becoming a god," just before he passed. Napoleon's action reflected his immense ego, his hubris, and his sense of entitlement. Vespasian's words were more ironic, showing that he never took quite seriously the belief that had been put forward that when the Emperor of Rome died, he became divine. But though they lived 2,000 years apart and their actions were very different in different settings, they both shared something in common. And that was the supreme confidence that came from being the king. Napoleon felt that he could break with ancient tradition. Vespasian, that he could mock convention. "I am the king. It's all about me." But this week, our attention focuses on a different king. The one who entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to much fanfare, to the acclaim of the crowd, to the cheers. Here was the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior. And now, just a few short days later, he's been executed like a common criminal. What kind of king is this? One to be mocked? One to be despised? Pilate had a sign mounted above Jesus' head on the cross. "Here is the King of the Jews." Chief priests objected. The sign should say, "He said he's the king of the Jews," but Pilate demurred. The sign he chose remained. Not because he was some secret believer. He hadn't come to the realization that Jesus was Savior, but that sign was meant to send a message. "Here is the King of the Jews." Rebels, those of you who would engage in sedition, if you want to be enthroned, we have a cross for you too. Don't cross the power of Rome. And so on that Friday long ago, it looked as if the ways of this world had triumphed, that raw power and hate and cynicism had carried the day. Now, our faith tells us otherwise. And we believe that on that cross, death did not prevail. Darkness did not cover the earth. Instead, life would triumph and the light would spread. But there are times in life when hearing these assurances, reading the lessons of Scripture, aren't enough to carry us through our pain and our hurt and our loss. When we mourn as a community or grieve in solitude, All we have is the question posed first by the psalmist and then echoed by Jesus. Why, oh why, God, have you forsaken me? And through this question on the cross, at the end of his life, Jesus shared yet another gift with the people, with you and with me. He opened up to us the paradox of faith, which is that we cannot have faith without doubt. He created the space for us to ask the questions, to wonder what is going on. Because if we can't do that, we can't enter into a full and honest relationship with God. And that is what God most wants with us and from us. Why, oh why, have you forsaken me, Jesus asked. And though it seemed he was alone and abandoned, he was not. Because Jesus was God and is God. And God came not just to know or experience our pain and our loss, but to share it. Jesus was unlike any king who came before or followed after. For him, being king wasn't all about his needs and his priorities and his dreams and desires. It was all about God. It was all about serving God's people and about loving them and about loving us and being present even when especially when all seems lost.